you're jumping onto white base.
All right, hello and welcome to Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm the Rose of David.
Yes, today we are watching the 9th episode of Mobile Suit Gundam G-Quax, The Rose of Sharon.
Getting close to the end.
Hey, now you finally get to find out what that is, Rob.
Yeah.
Do I?
And so did the rest of us watching it. The object called the Rose of Sharon does show up in this episode.
Okay.
And we will elaborate.
It is something that is an established...
I'm going to need a lot of elaboration.
Uh-huh.
It is not previously known as that, but it is a thing that
is now
established as existing, just not under that name until now. So it's like the revelation is, the Rose of Sharon that they keep talking about is that.
And this was a thing that was known to you people before this.
Yes.
Yes. That was a thing that was known to us enormous nerds.
It is an existing thing from the original Gundam under a different name.
It is weeb knowledge.
Okay. Because it seems that many things in this episode are unknown to me.
Yes! Well, I accidentally, in making you watch the Shalia Bull episode, accidentally showed you a character in this episode.
Okay.
I do think it was good that we have already established Lala and that she exists.
Okay, but that doesn't explain to me why half the episode takes place in the movie The Beguiled.
Okay. That's another story. We'll get there, too.
Okay.
I don't know that much about it, but I have an answer for it, and it is a weird one.
Oh. Okay. So, after last episode, Machu is... She is plunging towards Earth, and she's pretty freaked out about it, and her Gundam gives her a hug.
Yes, it has arms.
That was very nice.
But then instead it pops out the core fighter, which is something we discussed a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty
Remember that was a whole thing because you were like, what do you mean the Gundam has a little jet fighter in it? Do all Gundams have this? And the G-Quax does in fact have
this. It just looks really weird. It's a cockpit with two tubes on it.
Yeah, this was prompted by a skeet from a friend of the show, Christine Love.
Yes.
And then I was like, wait, is this a thing?
Yes, it's a thing.
Because it is something that is heavily featured towards the middle of the original series because they're trying to sell model kits and it's like an action feature. But it's not something that ever comes up any other time.
Mm-hmm.
It continues through subsequent Gundams, kind of. It core fighters keep popping up. They're not always there, or sometimes they are there, just they don't show up.
I mean, the Zeta just entirely transforms Zeta into a jet.
But the double Zeta is built around the concept of core fighter.
Yeah. But it is something that you would not expect if you're just familiar with Gundam through cultural osmosis.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen it in a... Like, I don't think it happened in that Hathaway thing you made me watch.
No.
Didn't happen in G Savior.
No.
Didn't happen in that random episode.
And yet, either of them could have a core fighter. We just don't see it.
G Gundam.
The one with Andrew Graham.
Core fighter is in G Gundam. It wasn't in the episode we saw, but it is in there.
Yeah, you know what else is in G Gundam? Is a Gundam horse that's piloted by a horse. So...
Yes. It was almost a Gundam dog.
I mean, I would hope that the Lumber Gundam would like have like a core fighter shaped like a canned goose.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be neat.
That would be perfect.
But no, she
just a tall goose.
So she the suit plunges into the ocean. Machu is safe in this core fighter, and she wakes up the next day in what turns out to be a brothel.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, two maids wake her up. We slowly find out it's a brothel.
Yeah, it's like,
it
are you guys like...
It becomes clear.
I don't think we ever find out if they're like just like actual maids, or are you like the sexy kind of maids?
They don't make that part clear, but...
I mean...
I think it's kind of like, yes.
Okay, so, why is this
so,
a brothel?
So, yes, you have questions.
Yes.
Okay, you want to try Jen, or do I have to do it?
I mean, there...
It's kind of a short explanation.
I mean, the short explanation is that Lala's actual origins were not really established in text in the series itself. There were two different versions, and in one of them, Char found her in a brothel.
Okay.
And was like, hey, you're actually an incredibly powerful new type. You should come to space with me. And I think in the other one, she was just like kind of like a street urchin, like thief assassin.
Maybe. The storm origin.
I mean, it's not entirely clear in this one if she is like an employee of this brothel because she seems too eerie.
Well, they don't they call her like the madam or something, or mistress?
They're regularly calling her the mistress, but she then also has customers.
Yes,
so she may just be like a senior level
that do seem
employee
like it, but...
at the brothel.
Well, and also, there's this. Is this guy like? Is the other guy with? Is he like a little person?
No, I think he's just short and overweight.
Okay, because we don't really see him next to other people, and I kind of thought it was like. Kind of looks like Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
I could see that.
I think we do see her next to Lala at the end, and he's shorter than her, but not like short.
Right. So I kind of thought he was like a little person. Because I'm not entirely clear how old she's supposed to be.
She's
presuming
15,
that all of the alternate universe versions of characters are, you know, were born the same year. Mm-hmm. She would still be a few years older than Lala in the original series.
Okay. Yeah, she was 17 in the original series, so she's...
Early 20s.
5 years older now, so yeah.
And she's like the love interest of Char?
Yeah, well, he went to the brothel. I think this was in the novels where it came out she was from a brothel. He went to a brothel.
That sounds about right. The novels were a little horny.
Because that's shit Zeon officers do. Found her. Found she was also a new type because psychic connection shit. Took her out of there and turned her into a mobile suit pilot. Well, a mobile armor pilot. And this is Lala, who never met Char and brought her out of the brothel. So she's been there for years.
Yes, because Char was... You know, got a Gundam and was doing other stuff.
Yes, because Tomino!
Yes.
Tomino and women is a weird thing. He got much better as he grew as a writer and he had daughters that grew up and they explained shit to dads like, please stop.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, and I think we talked about some of this before about how, like, all the women are very competent in a way that is usually not the case when you're dealing with just plain old misogyny. So it's really more just like he's not thinking things through very well.
Well,
he's trying.
Most of the women that in Tomino shows, at least in the original three Gundam, they are, yes, very competent, but also ruled by emotions. But you could say the exact same thing about the main characters, the boys.
Yeah, I mean, Camille is always like, oh, women are too emotional for all this, and then does some dumb shit because of his feelings immediately. Turns around and does something extremely stupid because of his feelings.
And it's more forgivable, where we are generally more forgiving because they're the main character, they make mistakes, they grow and change. Whereas the secondary characters, the women, like Rakoa in It Just Makes... really dumb shit that's like, what?
She's the one who goes and joins a cult because Char won't go out with her.
Yeah, because Char won't bang her.
Yeah.
So she joins a cult with an even worse dude.
Yes.
Ah. It's very weird. Well, it's
but
also
they're
like...
all excellent pilots. I would like to note that in Double Zeta, it is established that the white base has gender-neutral bathrooms.
Yeah,
it's like Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, I mean, but they're never at any point are they not competent or are they like delegated to support roles? Like you could even say about something like Macross, where the only
the bridge bunnies
woman who's a big deal pilot is the one who's an alien.
Yeah.
So it's not even like some other anime where the women are all kept as bridge duty. It's they're like excellent pilots. It's just sometimes they run off and join a cult because Char won't sleep with them.
Do the dumbest shit. Yeah.
Or they are being horribly tormented, like the whole Cyber New Type thing.
Yeah. The Cyber New Type thing is generally more forgivable because they do that to dudes too. Just it's the women are more noticeable because there's more of them.
And because they aren't like using them to bait Camille.
Yeah.
Zeta is basically a harem anime.
Yeah, well,
Camille's harem.
So is Double Zeta, but in a way that isn't. It's weird.
I think Zeta's a lot worse. But yes, anyway, so the creator of Gundam is trying his best, but he needs to be doing better with female characters at the time.
Yeah, because
and
possibly,
he's gotten a lot better.
Possibly the most important female character in the entire series. Well, no, it's Lala or Sayla.
Sayla.
It's hard to tell.
Sayla.
Yeah, Sayla might be more important in the original.
Sayla, as a reminder, is the one who's Char's sister.
Yes.
Okay, then.
But Lala is, like, second most important, then.
And also lives for, like, three episodes.
Which?
I think, when I was looking through, I think there's more, it's like five?
Oh, okay. Still.
Because, like...
Not that many.
She shows up in an episode, and then, like, three or four later is the Shalia Bull episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's at least one after that. Anyway, back to this episode.
Yeah, so we flashback. So she flashes back to the night before when she was getting interrogated by Shalia Bull, who has, like you know, like, he's bagged up all her possessions, including her robot.
Hmm. I like
was displeased
Haro
to be in this little evidence bag.
Yes, Haro in a little evidence bag, just sealed up.
And he was like, yeah, we're looking for the Rose of Sharon, which is a thing that I will not fully explain, but it shouldn't exist in this universe.
Well, because his assistant keeps saying, no, stop mentioning that to her, that's a secret. It's like, but, because, like, Machu is thinking in her head very loudly, and Shali is reading her mind because she's that well. I think it's a mix of new type, I can sort of read your mind, and also, your questions are ridiculously obvious.
Yeah.
So, and then he finds out that Shuji is looking for the rose that is apparently on Earth.
Yes.
So basically, he engineers her escape so that he can follow her and then find the rose.
Yes.
Because he's hacked into her cell phone, which they let her have so she could text message. And when she opens her phone, there's so many text messages from her mom.
Yes.
So finding out you're a criminal.
1 million notifications. I mean, also other people, but especially a lot of those are from her mom.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and it's funny when she gets to Earth, she has no cell signal.
Yeah. Well, okay,
again,
I mean, Earth is...
I'm not exactly sure where they are on Earth, because Lala mentions birds flying over the Himalayas. I don't think they're actually at the Himalayas, but near-ish? Like,
Gundam Wiki says India.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she is Indian, because she has a Indian everything. So it makes sense that the brothel she was in India. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so she's kind of wandering around this brothel. These maids are like, well, you know, we're kind of basically slaves, but you know,
and, we're well fed and we have a house over or a roof over our heads.
Yeah,
and they, I mean, part of the problem is that because of the war, Earth is in pretty bad shape in general. It's not like full post-apocalypse, but there's a lot of hunger and a lot of struggling and a lot of refugees. So yeah, one of the girls is like, it's not so bad. At least we get fed. Like, they're really, people are really struggling out in town. And the other girl is less convinced.
That is a disadvantage of the short length of the show, that this is the only episode we get on Earth. So we only have them saying what the rest of Earth is like when we're in this expensive mansion.
Yeah. I think at the very, very, very end, there's like a brief moment of a little bit of the town near where they are. But yes, we don't really get it established properly. Because again, you need more episodes to let things air out, and everything's all compressed now.
So this is where we run into Lala here, Lala Soon, who's kind of got like a Wednesday Adam things going.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't really see the future, but she has like weird dreams where she falls in love with a young Xeon officer. He takes her away from his brothel. But then he gets killed by another guy, and he's wearing this white mobile suit. And then she falls in love with him too.
Yes.
Yeah.
She falls in love with both of them, but Char is always fated to be, or the Xeon pilot is always fated to be killed by the Federation pilot.
Yes,
in the Gundam. In the white mobile suit.
Because she's a new type, she has sort of precognitive abilities, which come in handy in a war, in a battle, but like she's been trapped on Earth and slowly developing them, so she's just seeing into other parallel dimensions in her dreams, which is weird, interesting way to take new type stuff.
But also, I thought all new types were born in space. Was she born in space and then came to Earth?
No.
That we know of.
I think we brought this up before. Because Amuro, who's not in this show, was born on Earth.
Okay.
Went to space as a child. Char was born in space, so was Sayla. Amuro was born on Earth. Humanity is evolving into the future, and to awaken the powers, normally, yes, you have to go into space.
And Lala is generally, like, one of the most powerful new types that anybody encounters, so she is, like, the Jean Grey of new types.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like...
clearly doomed, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, maybe for next time we should make you watch...
No matter what she does.
The episode where Lala's introduced. The one with the swan.
So anyway, they've come up with a plan to get...
It does take place on Side 6. Sorry.
They've come up with a plan to get to let Machu escape, and that plan is to burn this shit down.
Well, the plan was start a fire as a distraction... But then it's too much fire, and then one of the two main maids that we see is like, let it all burn to the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, she's very much the little girl in that meme with the fire trucks.
Yes.
The one who is less convinced that this is at least better than starving in town.
Mm-hmm. So they get to this core fighter, and that's where this dude shows up with the whip. Mm. And... you know, she wants Lala to come with her, but Lala is, nope, I gotta wait. This guy's gonna come and save me.
Yeah, Lala can't have nice things.
Poor Lala. Yeah.
Even Lala doesn't allow her to have nice things.
Initially, I thought there was gonna be a thing where they were gonna be, like, obliterated by this thing taking off, but no, she's just still there.
Yeah, it's the thing, like, the first time I saw it, I assumed, like, the jet exhaust was either gonna kill both of them or kill the... I'm guessing brothel owner, the little guy.
Uh-huh.
But no, that does not happen.
I mean, the other girls, when they ask Machu to take Lala into space, they're like, she will not just go.
Yeah, not leave on
of her own accord. Mm-hmm. You know, she's too, like, tied into this idea of waiting for this dream of hers, and also just, like, wanting to help the other girls. So Machu tries, she makes a good effort, but in the end Lala cannot be talked into going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and so she,
I do like that this entire episode is, like, knocking Machu down step by step. Like, even from the interrogation down to this, it's like, Machu, you have lived a very privileged, spoiled life in space with a reasonably well-off mom. People on Earth are fucked.
Yeah, I mean, Side 6 is pretty stable. It's, you know, like, unless somebody's showing up with the Psycho Gundam, it is generally not getting blown up.
No. And so she does indeed find the rest of the Jeequawks down, way down below the ocean, where she wants to be.
Under the sea.
Yes, Owen, what's that behind it?
Taro does point out that the Jeequawks is made for space, land, or sea, so.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I think he's talking about the Core Fighter, but also the Jeequawks, but they take the Core Fighter underwater, and...
Because as some people notably learned a little while back, stuff that's good for space is not necessarily good for the depths of the ocean.
Yeah, things that are designed for 0G are very different from things that are designed for multiple Gs of pressure.
Yeah, it's fighting for freedom wherever there's trouble, over land or sea and air.
Yes, it is prepared for all of those things. But yes.
But yeah, it is right next to this thing. It is not, as I initially believed, Nemesis, Beast Wars. It's kind of like a weird, like, Jetsons-looking thing.
It's definitely a very 70s vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it described as like a modified helmet, which it kind of is like... where's the... The name of it, it is called, normally, the Elmeth.
Yes.
The Elmeth.
Which is like a Japanese translation of Hermes, by way of a French pronunciation of Hermes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or something originally... Somehow that evolved to Elmeth. I think in the middle there was like a Japanese perfume or something that was called Hermes or something. Uh-huh. But Elmeth is what it's called.
I hope that, like Mandem, it was also advertised by Charles Bronson. Have you seen that that Japanese perfume ad with
yes.
Charles Bronson? It's fabulous.
I have not, but I will have to look it up.
He's rubbing cologne on himself and looking all rugged and craggy.
American.
Like normal. Yeah.
Anyway, so she... And weirdly, there should be somebody in this thing.
Yes. And she has a flash of who they look like and... Wait a minute.
Didn't she just leave her a minute ago?
So she gets up to the surface, but uh-oh. It's our bad guys.
Well...
And they're also fishing out the Rose of Sharon, which is apparently... It's like a mobile armor that was like... in development in this universe, but never actually built it?
Yes!
Because, well, Char timeline's slightly different. They mass-produced the big Zam. They never built the the little, the little round bit thingies that the Red Gundam has at the beginning?
Yeah.
Those were designed for the Elmeth.
So instead of having, like, arms and legs...
They built those first... And they just never built the rest of it. It just has these little tactics.
Yeah, they just put it on the Red Gundam.
But it ended up on the Gundam, so they didn't build the Elmeth. So.
And yeah, in this Rose of Sharon, it's the other La La Su.
Dun, yep, dun, dun.
We have a spare.
So. What?
It's time for.
Multiverse theory
is
true.
It's time for multiverse bullshit. Yay! Pew, pew, pew!
Yep. Oh, this. Like, this series got some good memes, but I swear this episode had my favorites. Because two Lalas, so you get Lala pointing at Lala like the Spider-Man meme and various other things. Lots of stuff of that. And as they're dragging up the net with the Elmeth in it, there were so many redraws of that. I love every single one. I saved some of them.
Pulling.
Like, they're dragging out mostly older mobile suits, like the new Gundam, the my beloved Bra Bro, or Zaccarello.
Oh, the Zaccarello.
Bra Bro?
Brabro.
Brabro is yes, that's the name of a stupid mobile armor. I was thinking of the Zaccarello, which is ridiculous looking. There was also picking up like the pineapple from under the sea from SpongeBob in the net. It's so good. Oh, I think the PlayStation, the Switch 2 would just come out, I think.
Yes, and no one could get a hold of it yet.
It was in the net. I was like, yeah, but they found it in the net.
I do like that they're using their entire ship to just pull things up from under the water. Not like a dedicated towing vehicle, but just like their entire little battleship.
Yeah, they're using the entire, whatever the white base is called now that it's green, I forget. Shalia and his assistant lady are standing on a mobile boat thingy, a submarine, whatever. And for 5 seconds, we get to see some aquatic mobile suits.
Yay! I love aquatic mobile suits.
Everybody was so excited.
They're so ridiculous looking.
So is this like a version of the Zagok?
Something like that. It's much like the regular Zagok.
Or wait, was it the Zagok that was amphibious or the Gelgoo?
No, the Gelgoo is a space designed originally. Zagok and Zok. There's a plethora of aquatic mobile suits, and people love them because they're silly and wonderful. And this is all we get to see of aquatic suits in this entire series.
Well, there's one at the end.
So it's annoying. 5 seconds. I guess there's one shot at the end.
Yay! It's so stupid looking.
But
it's great.
It's just fun to see those little guys here. So this is the Rose of Sharon. What is that thing? It's that. We have so many things are crammed into this episode. Do we actually finish the episode?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where... That's when we see the other Lala soon, that's pretty much how it ends.
Okay.
We get next time on Gundam G-Quux.
This was the point where it's like, oh, so this is a multiverse story.
Yeah.
Because we always knew that it was like a different timeline.
Before this
timeline.
Was just... It was an alternate continuity. Alternate universe, but this is directly showing, this is a splinter timeline because this is Lala... From the original timeline, but maybe not.
So is this the thing where she, like, vanished in an explosion in the original series, and then it turns out she ends up here?
So I have thoughts at the end that we will get to at the end, but...
Yeah. Well, I have a pet theory, too, but it's like, something happened, a Lala from a different parallel world ended up here. May not... Actually, it's a lot closer... The world she's from is closer to the original Gundam timeline. Than this one, but I don't think it is the original.
Well, it's not the original because Char dies.
Oh right, yeah, because he dies before her. So yeah, that do not happen because she's the Jean Grey.
Because otherwise, this is kind of pulling the same gag as that mirror universe two-parter of Enterprise did, where they ended up getting a. Federation ship that it had previously appeared in the original series, the Tholian Web.
Oh, the Tholians! Who look like an Ultraman alien, kind of.
Yes.
But, yeah, this episode, up till this point, we didn't know that we were doing multiverse shenanigans, but we are doing multiverse shenanigans. So alternate timeline stories don't have to become multiverse stories.
No.
But when they do... No. They usually become very much subtextually about the nature of the stories, which is where you hook it directly to my veins.
because the pre-production on this series is weird and confusing, and I think it's half lies and nonsense. But one thing I heard was like they wanted to introduce more characters from the original series. And they weren't sure who to do. They were thinking about Kai and his girlfriend who died in Dublin here. But instead they decided, we should just do Lala because she's more important. And I'm kind of pissed they didn't go the other way. Well, I wish this series was longer so they had more time to play. They could do more stuff on Earth. They could have had more clan battle stuff.
Give me Kai. He's the best.
I love Kai and his Irish girlfriend who dies in the episode she's in.
When she shows up and you're like, oh, this is a character who's going to die.
Yeah. So having, like, Machu come down and find them and find out, like, what the fuck Earth is like would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. But they're happy and alive, even though Earth probably sucks ass. And then having her end up with Lala. That would have been nice if they had more episodes to play with. But story-wise, yes, you're going to go to Lala, because this is a side story about Jalia trying to find Char, and Char is connected to Lala, and it's a big circle.
And again, Lala is, like, incredibly powerful. So if anybody is going to be able to make multiverse shenanigans happen, it's going to be her.
Yeah, I think... In later series, I think there's more powerful new types, but for the original... One Year War, Lala is the most powerful new type by a long stretch.
Yes. She just wants to have a threesome with Amuro and Char. That's all she wanted
she
out of life.
Sort of the Lala we meet that's native to this world does mention that it's like, oh, no, Char isn't evil. And the guy in the white mobile suit is actually kind of nice, too. I loved him, too. It's like, yes, threesome would have solved so many problems.
As is often the case in these things, a polycule would have gone very far to solving problems.
World peace.
Yeah. Let's take the bonobo approach. Stop being chimpanzees.
Yeah. Anyway, Rob, how was this confusing little... Oh, it was so... This is like one of those episodes I was waiting for you to get to, and you had the... What was it? The Krusty the Clown. What the fuck was that? GIF.
What the hell was that?
Yes. To which I responded with the Char laughing GIF. It's like, yes, this is what I wanted. Are you enjoying the show?
I mean, I'm certainly interested in where it's going from here, especially since the... next episode seems to indicate that there could be, like, Cthulhu stuff going on.
Well, it's just
well, we
named
have the that. Oh, what is it called?
Yomantho or something?
Yeah, Yomantho. Yes, that thing again. Yeah, we get to see what it is.
Yes, it's horrible, is what it is.
Yeah, we keep talking about it, but I don't think we've seen
what
exactly
horrible.
It is.
It's one of my favorite sci-fi... Well, it's a sci-fi trope that comes up in so many things, but it might be my favorite version. Because it's fucked up.
Solar space cannons?
Giant death ray weapons, yes, of some kind.
Yes.
And, oh my god, it's fantastic. Oh, and I get to reference another series next month.
The fighting is really good.
I get to talk about Idion.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is either.
You know, I'm not usually, like, a person who's, like, everything has to have big battle scenes in it, but if it's animated and it's people piloting mecha, especially, like, overly emotional teenagers piloting mecha, just, that's exactly what I'm here for. Like, that Psycho Gundam episode was just, like, everything that I wanted to watch. I could just sit there and watch that battle forever.
And this episode is a peaceful lull with no mecha combat, which, after last episode of the murder mystery that involved melting a guy with a laser, that was light on fighting, too. But
we will see the G-Fred coming back.
Yes, Fred's coming back.
G-Fred.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
I need to build some of my kits that I have, because I can't justify getting more until I've built the ones I already have.
Yeah, I need to build any of them, but I got other projects. I have Lokis to put together.
But there is a physical location in the in my old town that I go back and visit for rescue stuff sometimes that had some G-Fred kits in stock last time I was there, and it's tempting. It's tempting.
All right, yeah, that pretty much does it for Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod this week. I'll be back next week with the exciting conclusion of the second season of Transformers Cyberverse.
Do you think it knows that it's the conclusion of the second season?
I don't think it does. I don't think anybody told them.
It's not great. It's not great.
And of course, until then, you can find us all over there. We are on Blue Sky, we're on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where you can find our Patreon that helps us with our hosting costs. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as a dollar a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes. January's was one day late, but you know, that's only one day. That's actually not bad. And because January was a lot for a lot of us, like I'm still digging out of the snow. It's, yeah.
Yes.
Harrowing drives into work this, this month. So for January's episode, we decided to give a nod to the successful toy Kickstarter for Mighty Orbots and watched another episode of Mighty Orbots. And it was fun. I know I, for one, I really should just watch the whole series.
It's short, but we, so yeah.
We watched episode 2, Wish World. So that was a lot of fun to talk about again. For the month of February, we will be commemorating the Wonder Man series by watching an actual, what we have been told is an actual good Marvel animated series with an episode about Wonder Man.
You have my word as a true believer.
Oh, I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
As it's from Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is generally regarded as a good
series. So when was that, from like the 2010s?
Early 2010s, okay. Yes. Like we're sort of right around the time the first Avengers movie came out.
Okay, okay. So we're fully in the like modern cartoon era.
Yes, but it's you know, it's loosely based on a Silver Age story.
Oh, cool.
I can assure you that none of Wonder Man's notably hideous costumes are in the episode.
But oh, is he just like wearing normal people clothes?
Oh, actually now that I think about it, he does have that original Kirby costume on.
It's a shame.
No safari jacket, though, unfortunately.
It's a shame with all the, like, right stuff. Maybe now that they've got all the rights sorted out, maybe MCU Wonder Man can hang out with his buddy Hank McCoy.
Yes, please.
Because that was good times.
Hang out and be gay together.
Yes, Simon, I'm listening. We're going to go down to the Cafe Nervosa.
I think the safari jacket might be his best outfit because all the rest of them suck ass.
I mean,
yeah.
I just think of him hanging out with like a blue painted Kelsey Grammer.
Yes, please. Yes. And the romantic tension. Yes, please.
I'm on board for that, but I'm sure he's great in that cartoon too, even if it can't have Beast in it.
It does not. But it's good. It's good. We'll find out, and for once, you will not be
cursing your name.
You're not cursing my name and swearing revenge.
This time, it will not be clobber in time.
It is not clobber.
All right. Well, I will be looking forward to that.
All right. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Jen.
And I am Fire, the Untamed Element, oldest of man's mysteries, giver of warmth, destroyer of mansions full of prostitutes, I guess. Right there, so. Fire.
Burn it down.
This brothel is on fire.
And presumably all the ladies got out, and the guys didn't.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's kind of a scene the end of the episode could have used, like the short guy dragging Lala back to the brothel that is now a pile of ash. It's like, well, crap. But good for Lala. Womp, womp. And good night.